Jay Omens is with us. Again, prolific sports writer for the Deseret News, focusing on all things BYU, and loves the Jazz, loves the NBA, also the mind and spirit behind jmoneysports.com. Jay, welcome. Nice to have you again.
Thanks for having me, Tom.
So we're trying to kind of, I talked about, the Jazz have a lot of entrees on their draft menu. It's a poor analogy, but it's what I came up with. So, and sometimes it's easier to just have one, but Danny Ainge, and Danny Ainge has the number three pick, so it's a little bit, they're in a little bit of a better spot, but pretty much analogous with the Jazz. They have all kinds of picks. They have wiggle room. Roster spots, I guess we'll start there. If you're really looking at this hard, and you know Dante Exum will come back and reassume that one roster spot, how many new guys, regardless of whether it's a superstar, free agent, how many new guys do you think this roster can absorb and needs to absorb to become relevant in the West? I'm thinking three or four, and I'm not attaching a skill to that to those guys. I'm just thinking they need some new guys.
Oh yeah, yeah. You need to bulk up the back end of your bench for sure, and you need to bring in somebody who can step in and play right away on top of Dante.
So we know they're picking 12. This is a kind of an open-ended question as to, you know, what you think. You know, we've seen Korkmaz from Turkey, long, tall, you know, a little bit of a development. We've seen Denzel Valentine from Michigan State, you know, might be a factor there. So just throw out some of the guys you think are in there. Also Jakob Poeltl, if he falls, could be. I don't know if they want another big, but just sort of take us through maybe what's going on in the early war room talk.
Well, there's probably six or seven guys that are being discussed at that spot, and then they're probably just looking at a matter of, okay, do we play it safe? Do we go with a guy who we know what kind of production we think we're going to get out of them, or do we shoot for the stars and reach? Because if we shoot for the stars and reach, we have a really big chance, and we also have a chance of hitting if we take high aim and go for somebody who might have a way higher ceiling. There's probably, like I said, six or seven guys that are right there that they could go and get who could help them and could also, you know, hurt them a little bit. You talked about Korkmaz a little bit, and then there's guys like Deonta Davis and Scalabissieri, and you know, both those guys have their pluses and their minuses, and then you could really reach and go for somebody like Thon Maker. And then there's also Malik Beasley and Marcus Chris, and even guys like Henry Ellenson might fall, and there's a bunch of guys, and we can talk about each of them individually, but there's a bunch of guys that could be there who can help them, and you know, also might have some solid downside too.
Yeah, I mean, you mentioned Denzel Valentine. There's a guy who's come through Tom Izzo's program, played 4 years, and so there's that maturity that the Jazz always like. He's long, and that checks that box for a 6'5 guard with long arms, and you know, that's kind of one of the things that Dennis Lindsay has really wanted to make sure they develop length defensively. Malachi Richardson, interesting, coming off an unbelievable freshman year. 6'6", and then you mentioned Marquis Chris, 6'10". Korkmaz is 6'7", just 18". So again, a bit of a project, and then the Poeltl. So I don't know. Just tell me who you like. It comes up to 12. Last year came up, and I was on Sam Decker, and then we don't know anything about him. He missed the season, had back surgery, so who knows about that? And then Devin Booker was there at 12, and they went with Trey Lyles. And that's kind of what you're getting at, the safe versus reaching for the stars a little bit. You know, clearly, I think what Walt Perrin told us is they thought Trey Lyles would be a better player, better all-around player. Well, we'll find all these things are we'll find out. But I thought maybe Booker had a chance to be a star, and Lyles might not be a star in the league. But if you're looking at this and it comes up to 12, who do you like? And we'll start with that.
Well, the first thing I think is we've got to look at the past and what the Jazz have done and how important the draft is, because you hear a lot of people say, oh, you can't really build through the draft, and you never really get a chance when you have these mid to late first round picks to make an impact. But that's completely not true. I just thinking off the top of my head who the Jazz missed on when they played it a little safer, in the last decade and think about some of the guys that they could have had, even when they drafted.
This is going to be painful.
this will be painful. This will hurt you to the very core. The Jazz could have had Chris Paul. The Jazz could have had Paul George. The Jazz could have had Klay Thompson. The Jazz could have had Kawhi Leonard. They could have had Isaiah Thomas. They could have had Draymond Green. They could have had Giannis Antetokounmpo. There's so many guys, and that's just in the last decade, and that's just off the top of my head. I didn't even go and look at anything
right.
because that's, you know, they played it safe in a lot of those picks and guys who were more system guys and guys, you know, who they drafted who have been solid and some who have been busts or gone by now, but they played it safe. I mean, even you look at when they went up and traded for Trey, they tried to make a big splash and look what they left on the board. If they'd have just kept the guys that they were drafting for Minnesota, you'd have had a backup 4-5 in Gorgui Dieng, who's a very serviceable guy who's
yeah.
going to be a 10-12-year player in the league, and then they would have had that extra shooter, which everybody's looking for, in Shabazz Muhammad.
Right.
So
I remember I mentioned this near the end of the season. Minnesota went in and stunned Golden State. Shabazz had 35 at Golden State. And Dieng had, I think, 10, hit a double-double. And I'm like, who are those? They're familiar. And I looked up, and I'm like, oh, those are the guys that Jazz traded to move up to get Trey Burke. And, you know, now Muhammad, who knew about, I mean, you know, he's been a late developer. The first couple of years, he was not that good. But, again, these guys are there. And you mentioned it. Like, that did not go well at all. They've had other very successful, Rodney Hood, Rudy Gobert. Those are huge pluses. But, so if you want to keep on going, I didn't mean to interrupt. I just that stuck with me that Muhammad had 35 that night.
Well, and he was unbelievable that night, and he can score, and he would just be a really nice piece as your eighth, ninth, tenth man because he can really shoot the ball and he can put the ball on the floor and get to the basket and draw contact. But you've got all these type of guys in drafts where the Jazz played it a little more safe, and then you look at where the Jazz have been more successful and. They've been successful at going overseas when the guys could come over. They've had guys who have made an impact. Raul Lopez was actually good before he got injured and never obviously panned out after that, but that was a solid draft pick. Obviously, you know, Tony Parker was right after that, but that's hindsight. And,
yep.
And that's tough, but we never really know what Raul Lopez could have done because of those injuries, but
right.
he started off very solidly. And then when they went and got Kirilenko was a huge pick for them. And Rudy Gobert, obviously, has been a huge pick for them. So they've had some success.
And Hood, you know, Hood was that huge Golden State thing. It allowed Golden State to sign
Iguodala,
the finals MVP last year. And the Jazz, after all the wash, after all the players, you know, they cut and moved on and everything, they end up with Rodney Hood. So huge there.
Oh yeah, they've definitely made some very solid picks. I don't mean to bash and say that they consistently miss. They make some really good picks, especially when they've looked overseas. So with that in mind, I think we need to focus on some of these kids who are playing in Europe right now, or some of these younger kids, like you said with Malachi Richardson, guys who are young and that need some time to develop, because I think they have a lot higher upside. So that for me, then you look at guys like Korkmaz and even somebody like Cheek Diallo, who didn't get to play much at Kansas this year, but wasn't used to a system here, and Scala Bissieri and Thon Maker, guys that probably might be a little too high or might be a little too low, but guys who have so much upside that if you take that shot and you trust and believe in your player development, that these guys might be bust, but they have a lot higher shot of being special than somebody who was a 10 and 7 guy playing in college at UNLV or something like that.
Yeah, that's a great point. I guess, you know, I think of Devin Booker. You look at Jamal Murray, another guy at Kentucky, but he had more opportunity, played more minutes, and then, you know, Buddy Hield, obviously the offense went through him. Booker was part of like a double rotation. I think Coach Calipari wanted to play two units that year. He ended up, through injuries, he didn't have that. But nobody's there playing 40 minutes at Kentucky. So, you know, the metrics are a little bit down there. But what about like a Malik Beasley? I guess I'm looking, you know, I want to find a shooter. For all the right reasons, spacing the floor, making it easier on the other guys. And by the way, the league is now surrounded, everybody shoots it. You got to have two or three guys who can load up and either hit open threes or contested threes, and the three-point shot has to be a part of what the Jazz do. And I know that's how Quinn Snyder wants to do it in the development of his offense, but they're about there now. I think it's time to check that box and fill that need, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, you absolutely need shooting. The one difficult thing about going shooter in the draft is shooting doesn't always translate from one level to the next.
Right. And I guess free agents, it's easier to find guys who've been around the league already and they've proven they can shoot. So I get that point.
And so, but there are some guys who can shoot who have, we've been talking about, it's a matter of deciding what you're going to shoot for here. If you're going to roll the dice and take a big leap and see if you can get somebody to make a huge splash, it might take a year or two and they might bust out, or you play it safe. And if you really, really, really want a shooter, Beasley is a great shooter. He's not a great defender. And he wasn't even the go-to guy on that team. So he makes it a little bit tough for you because we don't know what he can do. If he was the third option.
Yep.
And the first two options decided to go back to Florida State. And, I'm good players like Xavier Raython Mays. He's a good player. So it's not like Beasley doesn't have a good amount of upside, but he is really not a great fit defensively.
Mm-hmm. And that matters. Yeah.
That absolutely matters in the kind of system that they run here right now. So it makes a big difference. There are so many guys. It's going to be a matter of what they want to do. It really is, because there's so many opportunities to get really, really good players. Guys who are going to be special are going to fall past the Jazz. And it's whether they want to roll the dice and take a shot, because you can get a special big that could be a third big playing with Favors and Rudy Gobert, and you can have a three-man big rotation where they're all playing 32 minutes a night and putting up big numbers. And a lot of those big guys I really would rather throw weight at. And the other guy is Korkmaz can really shoot the ball. And like I said, they've had a lot of really, really good luck with guys that they've drafted overseas, at least the guys who have come. I mean, obviously you didn't get somebody like Ante Tomić, who's never come over, but even Raul was was really solid, and that's somebody, you know, second-round pick who played in Spain and from Brazil, and they've really done well with a lot of those guys. So I think they would be very comfortable with somebody like Korkmaz who could really make a difference. And it might take a year or two, but you know, it's a little bit of a reach because you want guys who can help you right away. But if you're looking for somebody who's special, it might take a year or two or three in development.
Yeah, he's Jay Yeomans, a major contributor to the Deseret News sports staff, a great writer, also the mind and the effort behind jmoneysports.com. So is it a time to be bold? Or because I kind of thought the Lyles pick was a little bit of a safe pick, a rotation four, wasn't going to make an immediate splash, got better with more playing time. Hello. And was looked more comfortable later on in the year, but not strong and not really a power forward, not really a true four. But so now in this go round, as they've sooner or later they have to put something on the court that is relevant and contends. So that, you know, I'm wondering, is this an endless clock or are they on the clock to contending here?
I think you need to go big and you need to go bold. And if they were somewhere else, I think that wouldn't make much of a difference, because then you can get a whole bunch of free agents.
Right.
Utah generally doesn't get free agents, and when they do, it's when they have to overpay them. And this year and next year, you can't really overpay anybody because everybody can overpay.
Right.
So unless you're going way above and beyond and putting like a ridiculous number on somebody, then you're going to be really in a tough way if you want to get a good free agent. So I think they've got to be bold. I think you've got to reach and see if you can get somebody who has the potential to be a star and not just somebody who's a rotation guy. I think too many times they play it safe and that's hurt them in the past. And when you can't, I mean, Stockton was somebody that nobody knew about and reach in a lot of people's minds, and look what he turned out to be. Right. You need to make not saying that there's a Stockton-level player in this draft, or even that you're looking for a lead guard like that when you expect Dante Exum to take those reins again. But you need to take that jump. You can't just sit back and be safe, because you never get anywhere being safe. Golden State wasn't safe, and they've made a huge transition rather quickly, and most of those pieces came in the draft.
Yeah, no doubt. And then in the out years, the next few years, they're going to have to sign all these guys. And we've gotten into that. We'll get into that more as the summer develops and we look at free agency. Jay Omans, great stuff again. Thanks so much. And, we'll continue to take our shots and throw darts at the board as the draft approaches. But look forward to having you again next Friday. Crystal balling with Jay Omans. Again, you can read him in the D News and jmoneysports.com. Great information there. Thanks, Jay. Have a great weekend. We'll talk.
You too. Thanks, Tom.